Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
And welcome to Music from the Tower. This is John Romeri, and I am so happy to have one of my best friends in music anywhere, Patrick Flahive, here today in the studio. Welcome, Patrick. It is so good to have you.
And I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
I can tell. Patrick and I go way back. We're longtime friends. We've had so many musical adventures together, festivals all over the country, even in Rome together, a festival a couple years ago for the Epiphany Festival in Rome. It's just a pleasure to have you here because I know what an amazing musician you are, my friend.
Oh, you're fine.
Patrick is not only just a fabulous musician, he is Mr. Children's Choir all over the world.
John, you're just so kind.
No, it's the truth, Patrick. If you think of children's choirs in the United States, you think Patrick Flahive.
You're just swell. There's just so much joy in working with the children and in working with you, John.
Well, thanks.
So, thank you.
We have had a good time, that's for sure. I hope our folks out there in radio land can tell that. But, Patrick, I want to talk about all sorts of things today. I certainly want to talk about you. I want to talk about Pueri Cantoris, which is a whole children's choir organization for the Roman Catholic Church. I want to talk about your choirs here in Southern California. But in this first segment, I really want to talk about children's choirs and music education. I'm a little nervous for children's choirs and music education in this country. Often you hear, there are cuts in school districts and the first thing to go is the arts. So is it still important to have children's education and music? Is it even relevant in today's high-tech society? Tell us what you think.
Well,
you're the expert.
Yeah, thank you. Well, my response to that would be now more than ever is it important to keep children involved in singing. The joy of their music, the joy of their hearts comes out through their music like no other. And when you think about children isolated on their little screens, on their devices that they're all
playing
with.
This is true, isn't it?
Here's a wonderful group activity where they make bonds of friendship. Not only is it musically and spiritually of such great value, but they make great bonds of friendship that go on and on
and on. They last forever.
They last forever. They do.
And it's the memory. Some of it is just because both of you and I travel with our children's choirs. Mm-hmm. And my choir's going to Rome this year. Your choir's been to Rome with me and you, and many times all of us together. Part of it is those wonderful memories of singing with those groups. But there's something about just breathing together and feeling it together and working so hard on the music together and coming out with such a great result. Yeah. We're going to hear a lot of that today on the program. Some incredible music by Patrick's choirs.
I think that the choral music experience is unique in a child's life because when they're all singing together, as you mentioned, their hearts are truly beating as one. Their respiration is completely in sync. And all of these things that studies, medical studies are coming up with that are of intensely important value for the life of a human being are right there for children.
And because there's not an instrument involved, you're the instrument, right? So it doesn't have to be, I play the clarinet really well, or I don't, or I squeak, or I, you know, it's all about the child and developing that child. And for me, it's the ultimate. I love working with kids, and I know you do too.
Yes, and their expressiveness, their joy. They may not have ever had any instrumental training or background, but they discover that in the choir. And then many of them go on to learn other instruments.
You know, when I audition the kids again, I'll say, do you take an instrument? Well, I didn't, but now I'm taking piano. And we're doing this whole program with our diocesan children's choir called Breezing Through Harmony, just to give them a chance to go online like they love to do. And study harmony, music theory, and all of those things. So it's so important for children. I just love what we do with kiddos.
I do, too. The children, a very common experience for me is seeing children at church after they've left my choir. They've grown up. They're in high school or college, and they'll come back to me, and they'll say, Mr. Flahive, I'm now playing such and such instrument, the violin or the piano, and my teacher is so impressed with the fact that I'm able to read music. And I had to say, well, it's because I studied with Mr. Flayheim.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yeah,
is that what
you
said?
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. I got a little note from a singer. I won't say her name on the radio, but she was with me years ago in my days in Pittsburgh, at least 30 years ago. And now she's a mom. And she was relating what happened to her last Easter when she was in church singing the Panche Lingua practically by heart. And her daughter goes, how on earth do you know that piece? And she goes, well, I sang with Dr. O'Mary when I was in children's choir, you know, and we drilled it and they knew it.
There you go.
Know? But she's still singing in her parish choir, you know, remembering the days when we were together.
Yeah, it's a lifelong, hopefully we're sowing seeds that will last their entire lives.
And we're not just sowing musical seeds. You know, you mentioned just our liturgical knowledge and that sense of serving the church, that sense of being in the church, that being part of the liturgy, not just attending Mass, but really singing the liturgy.
Absolutely. Well, their children have many, many activities, and that's one of the biggest challenges for us as children's choir directors, is the fact that children are attracted to many activities that would take them out of the choir. But in the parish children's choir, they have the ability to reach out and to touch each and every heart in the church. And there's no other activity that compares with it in that way. And I have so many adults that approach me after Mass and they say, I just want to tell you how much it means to me to come to this 5:30 Saturday Mass every week to hear the children sing, because they lift my heart and they take all the cares away from my life outside.
And we should say that's at Sacred Heart Church
in Covina, California.
Yes, so people can come to your Saturday night Mass and hear a children's choir.
They'd be absolutely welcome.
Yeah, I know when our children sing, they just sing the second Saturday of the month, our diocesan children's choir here at Christ Cathedral. The place is packed. Because we've got parents and grandmas, and we're touching the hearts of so many people with the ministry of the children.
Many, many. And as you say, my children don't sing at every Saturday Mass, and the Saturdays that they aren't there, there aren't nearly as many people in the church.
Yeah, no moms, no grandmas, no brothers, no sisters.
And no aunts and uncles who hardly ever go to church anyway, but they do come to hear their niece or their nephew singing
exactly.
In the choir.
Yeah. You know, there's a way of touching, and you have no idea who you are touching out there.
No.
You know, in our little choir prayer, we always say to take one soul and lead it to thee. You just have no idea who you're touching. Yes. And then once in a while, you get a letter or someone comes up to you and says, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah. No.
And it's not just about the kids. Well, they performed so well. It's really about, I mean, the church constantly reminds us that it's really the highest art form in the church because it carries the word of God.
Yes, and those words take life in the beautiful music that the children sing. And that life goes out and reaches out to everybody that can hear them. And as you said, every now and again, I'll have someone approach me after a Mass and say, this is such an important event for me to come and hear the kids sing. It lifts my heart. It takes all the cares away from my day-to-day life, from my family problems or from my health issues or things like this. And it's just, I tell the kids that and they look at me like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, I hope you're listening out there, music educators and school principals and even parish musicians that say, oh, no, I don't deal with kids' choirs. I don't want to do that. This is the future of our church. We get singing adults because we have singing children.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we should hear some music. Let's hear just a little bit, and this is the Pueri Cantoris of San Gabriel Valley, right?
Yes. Pueri Cantoris San Gabriel Valley is a community children's choir that's made up of kids from all over the San Gabriel Valley, as far east as San Dimas, California, as far west as Pasadena, and all points in
between.
And this
is a group you founded.
Yes, we're now in our 24th year.
Oh, isn't that something?
Yeah, next year will be our
24 years
next year
of touching
our
children.
Our silver jubilee.
Wow,
coming up.
Of course. Yeah,
looking up for that. And the piece that you're going to hear, Wolkom Yol, is from a ceremony of carols by Benjamin Britten, the British composer. It's sung in Middle English, "Welcome y'all," meaning welcome you all.
Everybody.
Everyone, yes. And it's a beautiful Christmas piece that Britten wrote in 1942, Opus 28, for three-part treble choir and harp. And our wonderful harpist is Maria Casale, who's one of the great harpists.
Wonderful.
In Los
Angeles. That's the other thing, of course. Children's choirs get to sing with the organ, sing with instruments, sing with all of these things that, we're going to listen to this, and we will be right back. We have so much more to talk about, don't we, Patrick? And this is Music from the Tower. This is John Romero, your host, with Patrick Flahive today, and Welcome Yule by Benjamin Britten. Stay tuned. Don't go away. This is Music from the Tower, and we are here today with the Mr. Children's Choir of Southern California, really the whole United States, Mr. Patrick Flahive. Patrick, I am so happy that you're here in the studio. And in the last segment, we talked about children's choirs, music education, music in the church, how important it is for children to be part of the church and the liturgy. Now, what about you? What on earth? Let's talk about you. You don't just get born and wake up and say, I'm going to be a children's choir director someday and a church musician. What were the moments that led you to be a children's choir?
Like most people. And by the way, John, I wish my wife spoke as enthusiastically about me as you do. Thank you so much.
Well, I could get her, I could pay her, and she could get all enthusiastic.
Thank you.
Lauren, also a fabulous musician, a staff singer at the L.A. Cathedral, a wonderful, wonderful person and who helps you with your children's choir. Right?
I wouldn't be able to do it without her. That's right. Absolutely for sure.
Well, I feel the same about my Karen, and even though right now she's 4,000 miles away, she has always been a partner and grime in all my children's choir adventures as well.
We're blessed, that's for sure. As far as my own musical background, I can't remember life without music, really.
Really?
I have five brothers. I don't know if you knew this about me. I have no sisters. My poor mother.
Your poor
mother. May she rest in peace. a special place in heaven for Lydia.
Five brothers, wow.
Yeah, five brothers. And my oldest brother, I'm the fifth in the line, so that I have
so
one younger.
I have
one
you have one younger.
And four older. And the oldest brother is a wonderful pianist. And I can recall from the youngest age crawling under the piano and listening to him practice.
Wow.
And that was my favorite place to be every day. He would practice.
Must have been the vibrations, huh?
I think the vibrations and just the beauty of his playing, too. Yeah, and even the simplest Hanan exercises and things like this.
Wow.
Just really got to my heart. It was probably the rhythm, too, because he became a jazz pianist. So he had a great sense of rhythm, still does. And I just remember Larry playing, and I'd have to be there underneath the piano.
Were your parents musicians? What led them to give him lessons?
No, my parents, my dad was a very successful businessman. My mother, a wonderful mom, wonderful homekeeper.
A very busy mom.
A super busy mom. One of the greatest chauffeurs in all of all.
I'm sure.
And always a great, warm, encouraging supporter of our musical endeavors.
So there was always music in your home.
Yes. And I have a younger brother who's a professional musician as well. Dan.
3 out of 5, yeah. out of 6.
Yeah, 3 out of 6. The other ones make money.
Oh, I see. And, that's how that works. Well, somebody's got to. Might as well be them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's really a pretty wild memory that you remember doing that as a child.
As a little guy. And I remember going into the children's choir at St. Catherine's School right here in Laguna Beach, California. And my choir director was Sister Jean Joseph, a sister of Orange.
Orange,
sister,
one of our sisters of St. Joseph.
St. Joseph of Orange. And she immediately collared me and said, now you've got to look at this little solo and you've got to look at that one.
Very good.
I just felt so incredibly affirmed by that and by being able to do something that I felt was really special. And there's another wonderful reason to have children in a children's choir, because that affirmation is so rare in the world today.
Well, and there's something about that accomplishment. You know, I mean, I ride my kids hard, as I know you do, too. But when they finish a really wonderful performance or a great festival or some wonderful trip or whatever it is, there's nothing like it.
No.
You know?
You're just, the memories are still very clear to me, even though I'm not a kid anymore.
Thank God it's radio, right?
All right. Yeah. So after St. Catherine's, I went to Laguna Beach High School. I had a wonderful choral experience there, and I was in the band. I played tuba.
Okay, now that's another piece I didn't know about.
Didn't know that about me.
There's lots of secrets coming out here.
I just loved playing the tuba, except for those long parades.
Well, and hauling the thing, right?
Oh, it got a little heavy. But and played in the orchestra in college, and I went.
You went right here to Chapman
University.
I went to Chapman
University in Orange. Yes, had a fantastic choral experience. I ended up giving up playing the tuba because I wanted to be the greatest opera singer in history.
Okay,
and you know,
how'd that work out for you?
Well, I think choral music was better for me.
Okay,
it turned out to be a better fit. But I still have a great love for the opera, and I bring my children to sing with LA Opera.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I saw your children last year doing.
It was Noah's Flood.
Benjamin Britten again. And this year, there's a performance coming up. Right?
Yes. We'll be singing March 16th and 17th with James Conlon conducting, one of the great conductors in the world, in the Los Angeles Cathedral Opera production of Jonah and the Whale by Jack Perla, composer Jack Perla. This will be the second performance of that piece. We sang the world premiere a few years back.
Wow. And kids, don't forget that either. That was amazing in the L.A. Cathedral.
Yes.
When I was there last year, the costumes and the sets and the, you know, and singing with a big orchestra and the opera singers and the stars that were part of that.
It's always a great event. We do that every year. We've been doing that now for 8 years.
And you're the children's choir director in that.
Right. I'm the children's choir director and coordinator, working under, of course, the great maestro, James Conlon.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And all those wonderful LA Opera.
A thrill for those children.
Yeah. And Stacey Brightman, I have to mention, too, with LA Opera, the community education director is just a phenomenal person.
Well, and that's March 16th and 17th.
That's correct.
2018. Yeah, but it's an annual event.
It is.
And so check that out, LA Opera at the Los Angeles Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels. Now you've gone through college, and so what did you do first? What was your first musical position?
Well, After hitting the heights in the operatic world?
Yes, after your big opera career.
I did pursue that through most of my 20s.
Okay.
And I got to carry a few spears and
wear a few horn hats.
Yeah.
I see.
I very much enjoy singing to this day.
Oh, you're a fabulous singer.
Thank you. You're very kind.
And that's part of the reason why your choir's good, I think. I think it's always important to be able to demo, you know, and to be able to know how to produce the sound. I think there are lots of choir directors out there who really are not vocal people. I was always an organ major, but I always took voice lessons. Mm-hmm. Every hour that I had to spend as an accompanist for accompanying I always spent in voice studios because I wanted to learn more and more and more about the voice. And I think both of us, because we know things about the voice, you way more than me, are able to help our kids, rather than just saying, I don't like that sound, to be able to fix it.
To model for them, to give them imagery, to give them all the the vocal physical background,
yes,
you know, that they need.
Exactly.
My first post as a choir director was at St. Dennis Church in Diamond Bar, California, here in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. It's just the border, almost Orange County, but not quite. You know, I have to say that, the Holy Spirit moved me to become a choir director, because I had told myself throughout my life that I would never be a choir director, throughout my young life, that I was going to be this great opera singer and that my career was going to be as a soloist. And then I got terribly, terribly ill. And I was sick for 3 months in bed with hepatitis.
Wow.
And it was like one of the worst years of my life. It took me another 9 months to recover after I was actually able to get out of bed.
Not good as a singer when you're the instrument, right?
You cannot sing. It's just absolutely, there's no energy. There's nothing that you really need as a singer. And I just, everything was just looking so bad for me. And I got a call from a very dear friend, Robert Cummings, an organist here in who was director of music at Holy Family Cathedral at the time. And Robert said, "Pat, there's a fantastic little church that's new parish that's formed in Diamond Bar, and they're looking for a music director, and I recommended you."
Oh, isn't that great?
And I couldn't.
You never know when the door's going to open, do you?
I couldn't believe that he'd done such a thing, you know. And I went and I interviewed, and the next thing I know, I'm standing in front of choirs, realizing this is what I should have been doing all along.
Well, that's fabulous. And now you're at Sacred Heart West Covina. How long have you been there?
Actually, Sacred Heart's in Covina, not West Covina. West Covina is the one that they sang about in Evita, you know.
Oh, okay.
"Don't cry for me, West Covina."
Yeah, that I one. See. All right.
But the Covina is the town where Sacred Heart is located. I actually was heard by the principal of Sacred Heart School at that time when I was directing the choirs at St. Dennis. And she approached me after Mass and said, have you ever taught music before? And I said, only in the choral environment. And she said,
explain you were a great opera singer and you didn't want to be bothered?
I said,
this?
Haven't you seen my picture and all the papers?
And Placido and Patrick.
Oh, John. Anyhow, so I went and interviewed for that job, and that was in 1985, if you can believe that.
Wow.
I mentioned prehistoric times.
That's a long time.
Yeah, prehistoric times. And I'm still the music teacher at Sacred Heart School in Covina, and I couldn't be happier.
It's so obvious when you're there. I was able to observe your work on so many occasions in joint projects that we do, and just coming to your concerts, they're amazing. And the energy that you bring to that school and to that program is unbelievable. Let's hear a little more music before we lose our time here, and then we'll be back with lots more from Patrick. What are we going to hear now?
We'll hear another movement from the Ceremony of Carols by Benjamin Britten. It's called Deo Gratias. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God for Patrick Fleihive and all the music that you have made over the years. We will be back with a lot more from Patrick Fleihive. Please stay tuned. This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral, Garden Grove. And if you're going to one Christmas concert this year, this is the one. Christmas at the Cathedral, December 15th at 7:30. These 150 voices will be singing all sorts of carols with Cesar Sanchez, our guest tenor. Get your tickets now at ChristCathedralMusic.org or by calling 714-971-2141, extension 5529. Don't miss the concert event of the season. I'll see you there.
Jolly, fa la 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 la, fa la 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 la, fill the meat drop train, the barrel, fa la 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 la.
Welcome back to Music from the Tower. Now, you might think this is our Christmas show because we're listening to Deck the Halls. This is your choir again, isn't it, Patrick?
Yes, that's Puri Cantora San Gabriel Valley.
We are here with Patrick Flahive, and this is just an amazing group that we've been listening to all through here. We've been hearing some Benjamin Britten. This is a traditional carol. And you've mentioned the words Puri Cantoris about 10 times. Tell our listeners what on earth that is.
Well, Puri Cantoris is Latin for young singers. We translate it now as young singers. It's
really vocal. Boys, though.
It's really boys. Yeah. Puri means boys. Boy. But we, since, of course, at Vatican II,
of course,
we include as many girls as we could possibly jam into our choirs. And with their beautiful voices and wonderful talents, boys and girls are all welcome in Puri Cantoris. Puri Cantoris is the official organization of children's choirs in the Catholic Church.
So this is not just some choir that's in San Gabriel Valley. This is an international organization.
Right. It's part of a global organization.
Of the Roman Church.
Of the Roman Church. That's correct. It was founded out of the ashes of World War II. In Paris, there was a wonderful choir called Le Petit Chanteur à la Croix de Bois.
And that sounds beautiful. Say that again, Patrick.
Le Petit Chanteur à la Croix de Bois was directed by Monsignor Ferdinand Maillet, and that was a boys' choir and still is one of the finest boy choirs in the world. It's the French equivalent of the Vienna boy choir.
Ah, okay.
So this is a residential choir. The boys live there. They study there. They eat, breathe, and sleep music and liturgical music. And they're wonderful. They're constantly touring around the world.
So that was where it all started.
That's where it all started. And
in the late 40s?
And in the mid 40s. In 1944.
Okay.
In November 11th, actually, 1944.
Wow.
So here we are. Monsignor Maillet had taken the boys all over Europe singing, and the different parish choir directors said, boy, we're going to have to start a petit chanteur group. So they'd have Petit Chanteur à Saint-Jean or Petit Chanteur à Sacré-Cœur or whatever.
Wow, okay.
So that's where Petit Chanteur came. And when he realized that this was really going to be much bigger than just his Paris
group,
children's
yeah.
choir, he decided to form it as a national and ultimately international organization. And Petit Chanteur was in turn translated into Latin as Puri Cantoris.
Okay. And how did this get tied to the International Roman Catholic Church?
Well, the boys had sung in the Vatican before, and Monsignor Maillet, being a priest, filed to actually be a part of the Catholic
Make
Church.
Make it official.
Make it an official organization of the Catholic Church. And that happened shortly thereafter. The first International Congress of Puri Cantoris was in Rome with Pope Pius XII.
Wow, okay. So that's been a while.
In the late
40s. And tell us about how the association has grown now to all countries, all nations.
Well, currently there are 41 different nations that are federations.
That have a federation.
Or associations of Puri Cantoris.
And the United States is part of that.
And the United States is one of the very biggest ones. It's one of the three biggest.
And you were the national president for about 19 years.
I was, yes. Beginning way back in 1994.
Did you bring it to the U.S.? Did it start with you? Was it already going and you just took it over?
Or? No, actually, Puri Cantoris was going in the United States in the early 1960s. And I think actually 1959. It had grown to a certain point, and then the numbers ebbed. It did not.
It's all about leadership, isn't it?
It did not grow. It shrank dramatically. When I was asked to be president in 1994, there were fewer than 10 choirs.
Just 10 in the entire United States.
And the reason that I was invited was because one of the founders, Monsignor Joseph Marchkowski, a priest from Chicago, it would always come to Diamond Bar to see
to hear
Dennis
your choirs, okay.
To visit his sister, John.
Oh, okay.
More important things.
Oh, to hear your choirs.
But,
let's face it.
But Monsignor Marchkowski had been director of music for the Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago.
In Chicago,
and
wow.
He would always say nice things about my choir, and we'd have meals together. And he said, Pat, you should bring your children to sing for the Pope at a Puri Cantoris International Congress in Rome. And I said, wow, wouldn't that be great, Monsignor? I'll see. At the time, I was actually teaching in two Catholic schools and music director at St. Denis in Diamond Bar. The other Catholic school is St. Philip the Apostle in Pasadena, California.
Wow.
And I've already mentioned Sacred Heart, where I'm still teaching. And I sent out a letter to 200 parents, 200 families of all the children that I was directing at the time. And I said, what do you think about bringing the kids to sing for the Pope in Rome? And guess what? I got 197 positive responses.
Wow. Can so was that your first time to take them to an international festival?
It was overwhelming. It was just, it was so amazing. I came home and I said, this cannot be the only time that we do this. We've got to make this keep going. So,
well, and as we know, we both have taken our kids to these international festivals, and you way more than me. But it's amazing because there are kids there from everywhere, from Japan, from India, from Africa, all over Europe and the United States.
Yes.
We've had good representation.
Absolutely. Having the opportunity to not only travel and see these magnificent places, but to be in such close proximity with the Holy Father.
Right.
And actually shake hands with Pope St. John Paul II. Those kids will never forget that.
Never. I mean,
and they're not kids anymore, by the way.
Well, exactly. But those festivals are part of what this federation does.
Yes.
And you were president for 19 years now. I think Lee Gwotz from the Cathedral in Corpus Christi is our national president.
Yes, Lee Gwotz is our current national president. And
also a master of children's choirs.
Wonderful work, yes. And Lee carries on the tradition, and there are choirs all over the United States.
Well, and we have regional festivals as well. My children sang in one in Huntington Beach, and this year it's in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a children's choir out there, check out Pueri Cantoris. We certainly encourage all choirs to be part of that, because it is that connection to the Catholic Church and to children's and festivals and just so much learning. Tell us the four quadrants of the learning.
Well, the children, you know, they gather together to sing the peace of God. Since it was born out of war.
And that's its motto, right?
The motto of the International Federation of all Pueri Cantores is that children may gather together and sing the peace of God. So truly, it's an international peace.
Well, and if there was ever a time we needed some of that.
Huh? Yes. And the children sing, they develop their musical skills and knowledge. They develop their interest in their spirituality, their catechism, their faith. They develop knowledge of liturgy. And they develop a knowledge of community and what their presence in the choir means to the community and how they are making such a valuable contribution.
Sounds like an excellent organization for every choir to belong to. So we hope that you'll investigate that. We'll certainly put a link to that and many other things we've talked about today on our website at ChristCathedralMusic.org. Let's hear another a little piece by Benjamin Britten again. How about Benjamin Britten?
Oh, fantastic.
We're going to hear another movement from this wonderful ceremony of carols.
Yes, this one's called This Little Babe, and it's got this wonderful canon stretto effect, and the recording technician when we recorded this was rather confused by all of these different voices.
Thinking something had gone wrong.
He thought the acoustics are going crazy and messing with my equipment. But it turned out to be a lot of fun.
Another wonderful piece in Old English.
Yeah.
And also with you conducting and
Maria Casale.
A beautiful harp accompaniment. Pueri Cantoris again, San Gabriel Valley. We will be right back, and we have lots more to talk about with our friend Pat Flahive. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral, Garden Grove. And if you're going to one Christmas concert this year, this is the one. Christmas at the Cathedral, December 15th at 7:30. These 150 voices will be singing all sorts of carols with Cesar Sanchez, our guest tenor. Get your tickets now at ChristCathedralMusic.org or by calling 714-971-2141, extension 5529. Don't miss the concert event of the season. I'll see you there. Welcome back to Music from the Tower. We have been listening again to another fabulous piece, this time called Jesus Christ the Apple Tree. Now, that's an odd little title, isn't it? A wonderful piece by Elizabeth Poston.
Beautiful.
But yes, it's a gorgeous piece, and your choir just sounds like $1 million.
Oh, thank you so much. And that's an old American text, too, from the early part of our time.
Well, it's beautiful, and thank you for sharing all this great music, really getting us in the Christmas spirit here as we listen to this program. And I want to spend this last segment talking about your crown jewel, your wonderful Puerre Cantor San Gabriel Valley. We've mentioned them several times, but let's tell our radio listeners more about that choir, when it was founded, where it rehearses, how do I get my kid in this great program, and where can I come to hear them in a live performance?
Great. Well, as I said, our first outing was to sing for that International Congress in Rome. For Pope St. John Paul II in 1993-94. We sang New Year's Day Mass of 1994. We came back. The parents absolutely
were all hyped up.
They said, you've got to keep this going. And so my wife, Lauren, and I said, okay, well, if we're going to do
this organization,
it'll be a separate entity. So it's a local nonprofit, and the children have an annual concert series. They sing in different, make different performances, have regular rehearsals every week. We have three different levels. We have what we call the cherubim level. That's the preparatory. We have the seraphim, or intermediate level. And the advanced choir is called the Queen of Angels Choir.
Okay.
And we have two different rehearsal locations to make it convenient for families in the San Gabriel Valley.
So they could go to one or the other.
Or
they don't
other.
Have to go to both.
No, it's their choice. They can rehearse in Pasadena at St. Philip the Apostle, or they can rehearse in Covina at Sacred Heart.
And what are the days?
Well, the preparatory choirs rehearse on Mondays at Pasadena, and then later also we have the advanced choir there, preparatory, intermediate, advanced on Mondays in Pasadena. Tuesdays in Covina, the beginning groups. And then the advanced group all gets together once a week on Sunday evenings at Sacred Heart in Covina.
I've been to those rehearsals. They're amazing. And so how does a child get into this?
Well, basically, they just contact us. You know, we're on Facebook. We get a lot of Facebook hits. We have a website.
Tell us your website.
It's Puri Cantoris SGV.
SGV,
.org. You can get on our website, and our email address is there. All the contact information is there. You can find out a lot more, and there's all these wonderful photos of all the things the children have done.
Well, I don't have any kids, and I want to come and hear this choir. Where can I do that?
Well, our upcoming concert is December 17th. At 7:30 p.m.
Where's that?
That'll be at Sacred Heart Church in Covina.
Right.
Okay. On Workman Street there in Covina, right off the 10 freeway at Citrus.
And what a way to usher in the Christmas season.
Yes, and we're having a wonderful theme. I'm delighted with the children's progress on this music right now. They're really pulling it together. They're singing largely Spanish and Latin American.
Are they singing in Spanish?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, lots of Spanish.
What's the name of your program?
It's called Noche Buena, and it's all about Jesus and his beloved Mother Mary and the
And
his father,
absolutely
Joseph.
Love you. Yes. That's December 17th at Sacred Heart Church. Is there a charge for that?
Yes, it's a $10
ticketed event.
$10 for seniors, $12 for general.
Okay. Well, we certainly want to push that. And we mentioned earlier the Jonah and the Whale with the LA Opera. Puri Cantor San Gabriel Valley sings in that.
Yes. Yes, it's a great opportunity for the children to sing with one of the great conductors in the world.
And sing opera, a totally different thing from singing liturgical music.
Completely different repertoire and a wonderful orchestra and
but that's not all. It's not just a Christmas concert and LA Opera concerts. It's also trips. You're going on another trip this summer.
Yes, we're very excited. This will be our ninth international tour.
Wow. And I was on the eighth one with you.
Yes, that's right.
Yes,
that's
right. We did it together in Rome.
And this one is the 42nd International Congress of Puri Cantores will be in Barcelona this summer.
At the Gaudi Church?
At the Sagrada Familia Basilica.
Oh, yes. Such a beautiful place.
Magnificent. We'll have over 3,000 children at that, and Puri Cantores San Gabriel Valley will be one of those groups. And we'll, in addition to singing the Great Mass at the Basilica, we'll sing in different places around the city of Barcelona and in the outlying regions.
What an experience for these kids.
But I think even more special than that, I can't imagine anything more special than that, but perhaps more special than that is the fact that we'll be going to the island of Mallorca before Barcelona. It's just off the coast, and Mallorca is the home of our California apostle, Saint Junipero Serra. And St. Junipero Serra, of course, founded the California mission system.
So the children will get to walk in his early footsteps.
Yes, and they'll be able to sing in the church where he served as an altar server.
Wow.
They'll be able to sing in that church where he was ordained and where he said his first mass as a priest. And it's just a magnificent opportunity for California children.
Well, because they study the missions in school. So absolutely. What a chance to bring history together. History, church, music, all coming together by being in a children's choir. Well, we've talked so much about children's choirs and these wonderful trips. You have also worked with us here at Christ Cathedral. You're part of our team here, and you will be beginning, as part of our diocesan children's choir, a preparatory choir for us. This year at our summer children's camp, we had 105 children, and you had the bulk of them in your preschool choir.
And I'm so excited that I survived that experience.
It was unbelievable. I couldn't have done it for 10 minutes, and you did it for 2 hours a day.
It was wonderful.
You were unbelievable with these young kids, Patrick, and they didn't come away singing Sweet Little Me and Jesus songs. They came away singing Handel and, you know, great music of the church and great liturgical music.
That's how they're exposed to this, John.
Right.
They're not exposed at an early age. They may never have the experience.
Right. It's so sad that so many of our children, because kids don't say, well, where's the drum set? Where's the, they just give, they take what you give them. Mm-hmm. And when you give them great things, they take it and they run with it.
Oh, and I'm so excited that you've included me here.
We are very excited. So if you're in Orange County in the Diocese of Orange and you have some young children that want to get involved in singing, as you've heard how exciting it is, give us a call. This will be grades, what, 2 through 5?
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever you throw at me, John.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to take grades 2 through 5, our normal children's choir, when they move forward and advance into the performing group, mm-hmm. begins in grade 5.
Right. Saturday mornings.
Saturday mornings, right here on our Christ Cathedral campus. How exciting that's going to be. So, summer trips, masses, Christmas concerts, LA Opera, you do it all, Patrick.
Well, and summer camps, too.
And summer camps. Yeah. We've had a great summer camp, and we will host those again right here at Christ Cathedral. What a chance for these kids. We had music lessons, we had solfege, we had music theory, we had all sorts of singing.
Lots of joy. Lots of joy.
It was just tons of fun. This year, we even sang with the Libra Choir from London.
That was great.
Really a great, great day.
Well, and the kids can, we've also sung the national anthem for Galaxy Soccer, our Major League Soccer team. We've sung for presidents. Way back when, we sang for the office Christmas parties of President Ronald Reagan.
Wow.
There have been lots of magnificent experiences.
Well, we can't wait to host your choir here at Christ Cathedral once we open. Maybe we don't even have to wait that long, but we want you here, Patrick, and bring this wonderful choir to us. Go on a tour to Orange County. I think you should.
That sounds great.
I think it does.
And you have a little park nearby that we could perhaps visit.
Yes, you could check out. There's mouse ears there.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard about it.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming in today and sharing all this and this great music that we've been listening to. So much good work with our children here in L.A. and Orange County. So thank you, Patrick. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for the blessing you've been to children. And until next time on Music from the Tower, I encourage you, I beg you to go out to listen to music in live performance. And you might want to do that on December 15th right here at Christ Cathedral and listen to our Christmas concert, and December 17th in Covina at Sacred Heart Church and hear the Puri Cantor San Gabriel Valley. Patrick, thank you so much.
Oh, John, it has been such a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
It's absolutely ours. And we're going to hear Jingle Bells, right?
All the way.
All the way. So thank you again. And until next time, we want you to be sure to tune in to the next live episode of Music from the Tower. But remember, you can always hear us on our podcasts, which are at ChristCathedralMusic.org. You can hear all of the music there, and you can see photographs and a lot more from our guests and website connections. So always stay tuned. And this is Music from the Tower. Your host, John Romeri. Thanks for listening.